bless us for different purposes. There he is. Zach, what's the most you ever lost on a coin toss? I'll start with Zach's honors and accolades, mainly because he doesn't flaunt his awards like medals on a jacket. It's not what he wants you to remember about him. Zach doesn't find it important that you know his accomplishments. Zach wanted me to say that his poetry recently appeared in Plowshares and is forthcoming in Poetry Magazine, and he is a PhD student at FSU. That's all he told me. Here's what I will add. This will be the third time Zach appears in Poetry Magazine. He has poems in Pleiades, Midwest Quarterly, Bayou Magazine, and The Common. He was a finalist for the Ruth Lilly Fellowship sponsored by the Poetry Foundation. He was poetry editor for Pope Press. He earned two master's degrees, an MFA in poetry from Wichita State, an MA in creative writing from the University of Nebraska. It sure is a mess, isn't it, Zach?
Go deep for the mess sketch here.
When I go to Vegas to bet on poets, or I call my Tallahassee bookie, for my money, Ted Kooser is one of the greatest living American masters of the short poem, the metaphor, and the image. When Kooser's 2004 Pulitzer Prize-winning collection, The Lights and Shadows, was published, I read the poems cover to cover several times and hoped that during the remainder of my life, I might produce one image or one metaphor to match any of the dozens of extraordinary creations of Ted Kooser. We were riding out to an abandoned farmhouse on his pearl-black Triumph, deaf to the sound of bleeding sheep. Or, Mama said, it only existed in storybooks with its soft surface of bluebells. But there it was, spinning so close to the earth that it bent every weather vane in Omaha. Or, the nuke corkscrews along a set path and polarizes the moon, generates a white cloud like two hands clapping chalkboard erasers. The thing is, those aren't Ted Kooser's creations, those belong to Zach. When I first read Zach's poems in David Kirby's workshop, I thought to myself, this son of a bitch is plagiarizing Ted Kooser. I'm gonna nail him. Many months later, I learned from Zach that he studied with Kooser at Nebraska. Most people would brag about such a thing the first minute after you meet them. It's like studying martial arts with Bruce Lee. Zach is part of Kooser's lineage. You pick the one correct student and pass along the tradition. Zach and I share an affinity for all things Cormac McCarthy. Zach purchased a hardback first edition with dust jacket of No Country for Old Men and gave it to me. It wasn't even my birthday. I convinced Zach to read Blood Meridian by McCarthy. He had shied away from the novel for years because he was timid about the violence, which is ironic, considering the violence in some of his poetry. You will hear some of that violence tonight. I'm telling you, if Zach walks in the room, don't turn your back on him. Don't let that Cheshire Cat grin fool you. Don't let that Cheshire Cat grin fool you into complacency. He's liable to cut moon-shaped chunks of flesh from your shoulder and feed them to you. After reading Blood Meridian, Zach said it was a life-changing experience as a writer and storyteller. If you know Zach, you know he has a life-changing experience every day. Maybe three times a day. He has been overheard in the Swanee Room saying, this is the best barbecue sauce I ever tasted. After saying the same exact thing the week before. I'll finish with this. This is from an essay titled A Moment of Genius. And this is Charles Baxter writing about Larry Levis. And I think this applies here. As I sat there listening, I felt stricken and filled with the sick excitement one feels upon encountering a real poet and a possibly great poem. I have felt this emotion at poetry readings only a few times in my life. It was all there, a large subject addressed in an elaborate but austere syntax, the phrases and word choices almost painfully fastidious, the evidence of great care taken with every feature of the poem, creating an incredible impression of suffering, almost beyond measure, organized coolly and immaculately into the greatest precision and an almost detached nobility. It was astonishing. The detachment was absolutely necessary, I realized, if materials this toxic were to be handled at all. His poems are a kind of death song, as are his other late elegies, although, of course, I didn't know that at the time. Zach, you can't stop what's coming. It ain't all waiting on you. Please welcome a living master of the short poem, the image, and the metaphor, my friend, Zach Strait.
Mom, come back, you tell mother I love her. Guys, thank you very much.
We love you.
I love you guys.
Oh.
You guys are wonderful. All right. Alright, so these first two poems are for my great love.
Allison!
Alright, so this is called Theme Park. The last fireworks having exploded behind the castle, the willows and palms of stars fading. As we hold hands and hurry off into the world of tomorrow, a scale model of our solar system glowing above us, we walk past the dark mountain of space, the thrill ride, and step into another line to wait our turn for the rockets. A small elevator carries a group of us up to the launch platform, and I watch as my wife climbs aboard her very own ship. And I know this is how our lives will end, with me following close behind. The attendant straps us into our seats and disappears. And then we are lifted high above the earth. My wife takes her steering wheel and leans forward into the wind, and I do the same, the speed blurring our vision, stretching the planets into long bands of light. Barb. She places her head on my shoulder, her long blonde hair tumbling down my back. The two of us listen as the band plays a song about how two people will grow old together, how they will dance beneath the fading stars of heaven. Strings of white bulbs light our steps as we twirl these bodies across scuffed floorboards, the other couples spinning in and out of our small orbit. The music must end, we know, so we hold each other close and sing. This is for Ramsey. I feel like I should have spaced this out because I don't want to get emotional. All right. I might speed it back a little. All right, so this is called Stuntman. Stuntman. Teach me how to be tossed through a window and not break my neck or spine. My body shattering the sugar glass of life. Teach me how to fake my own death. How to fall backward when the squid explodes. How to bite the blood capsule. How to lay still while the movie cameras record my final breath. Teach me how to smile when the director calls it a wrap. When the backdrops of night are rolled away. When the wardrobe trunks shut with the claps of when the wardrobe trunks shut with a sound like clapping. Let me learn how to live and die and live again, scaling the red rocks at sunset, eating plates of meatloaf and mashed potatoes at the diner, and loving one woman at a time. Dress me in layers of asbestos clothes. Let me learn to walk through the flames. Oh, Explorers. Explorers. My older brother and I, with our plastic flashlights, the blanket pulled up over our heads, we would shine the beams down the narrow tunnels of fabric, hold the lenses against our wrists, the palms of our hands, examining the atlas of the body, the red highways and byways, the bezels leaving rings on our skin. Or we would just lay there in the safety of that darkness, click off our flashlights, and picture ourselves as astronauts. The nightlight behind the blanket, like a distant moon, as the two of us floated through space, as the adults did, maybe toward a star or planet, maybe toward nothing at all, but gazing ahead and whispering to each other, trying to guess what tomorrow might hold, wishing we could stay lost forever. It's called Video Game. The plumber leaps for a platform and misses, vanishes into the pit. We watch the screen go dark, and then my brother passes me the control. I wipe my hands on the carpet and start my turn, thumbing the directional pad to make the plumber move, the underground level scrolling forward and backward the way time does not. He swallows an orange mushroom and becomes giant, touches a flashing flower and begins to pitch fire. He scorches the red fly traps, stomps the terrapins, and kicks their blue shells. He clears a path through his enemies. I press the A button, and he leaps over stacks of blocks, breaks rows of bricks to rubble. He punches a mystery box, and a golden coin appears and disappears. He leaps onto the platform, leaps onto the roof. This is only the second level. I hold down the B button and make him run. He drops into a room with three pipes, a warp zone. I make him select a portal and squeeze himself inside. There are other worlds ahead, beanstalks, a type of heaven. There are ways to gain extra lives. There are ways to become invincible. You swallow the green mushroom. You catch the bouncing star. All right. All right, these next two are for Tom. He really is inspiring quite a bit. I haven't known him not too long, but his work is wild and beautiful. So these are dedicated to him. All right, it's called Hangman. 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 Alright. Okay. Hangman. Alright, I gotta stop. Alright.
What was it again?
Okay. Hangman. It's important for the poem. The new corkscrews along a step path pulverizes the wind, generates a white cloud, like two hands clapping chalkboard erasers. I lift the fedora off my bald scalp, eclipse my heart with dark brim, and take a moment to reflect on banana pies and pinballs. You devote your life to dealing arms, buying and selling for pennies on the dollar, and still you can only dream of annihilation. Once I traded an atom bomb for a pack of plastic-coated playing cards. A teardrop of acid zigzags down my cheek, and I place my hat on the dashboard, inhale the aroma of sizzling flesh, and pray for a pink bolt of scar tissue. I floor the gas pedal, speed across the blue desert with a fresh stock of weapons for the taken. Suitcases of germs in the trunk, an assault rifle tucked under each seat, and bricks of explosive putty on the floorboards. A small noose dangles from my rear view, and I hook my finger through the loop like I'm a kid on a carousel again. I've grabbed the brass ring. I want to mount another painted horse. Ride counterclockwise. Thank you. Alright, birthday. The wax pools and clots like blood as the others gather around. Make a wish, my mother says, and I shut my eyes, praying for a new shotgun. I vacuum up a mouthful of air, hold my breath until my cheeks hurt, and then blast out all 12 candles. The smoke curls up into question marks as my father steps forward with the cross-cut saw. He steadies the long blade across the cake, a wall clock my mother spent the afternoon frosting and decorating, cups one hand over the hardwood handle, and begins to push and pull. The teeth chew through the glass lens, the metal bezel. He stops to wipe the beads of sweat off his brow, then gets back to work. He divides the timepiece into 12 servings, blows the debris off the dining room table. I scoop out a wedge, flip away the red candle, and take a bite. A dark hand snaps like a twig between my teeth, and I can feel my enamel cracking. I gnaw and gnaw, fucking numeral off my tongue, an X. Alright. Marauder. The fuel gauge reads empty when I spot a red barn in the distance. I remember nights playing board games around the dining room table, collecting groups of properties, erecting little houses and hotels. I swerve off the highway, my back tire kicking up dust the color of fake hundreds, as I rumble down the dirt road on my chopper. A grain silo appears and I kill the engine, get down off my seat and walk the motorcycle into a patch of dried wheat stalks. I unholster my revolver, grab the flashlight off my utility belt and start toward the barn. The big doors are pulled open, and I sneak inside with my gun up, shining the yellow beam over the dusty floorboards into the wooden horse stalls. A huge eye glances at me, and I leap backwards, the stallion neighing and kicking his front hooves. I holster my weapon, step forward with my arms spread out in the shape of a cross. He turns his head sideways, allows me to caress his cheek. I comb my fingers through his dark mane, rub his muscular neck. Food is scarce, and I know what I have to do. Sorry, I say, and draw the buck knife from my boot. I can't afford to waste a bullet. Thank you. Alright, so, you know, this poem is for Josh Wilde, who helped me with this. Is he? Okay. Alright, that's alright. You can tell him that I did this for him, it'll make him happy, I hope. Alright. So this is called Power. The dictator orders the construction of a zeppelin. He means to restore the old world. The cows must be slaughtered, gutted to fabricate the gas fans. For months, the hills are sticky with blood. The citizens eat steak and eggs for breakfast. Steak and potatoes for supper. A steel hangar looms on the outskirts of town, far from the square. Every dawn, while the roosters crow, the doors slide open to receive a second crew of men. They are not seen again until dusk. They slouch home with empty lunch pails, kick off their boots and dream of dark balloons. The moon waxes, the moon wanes. On the afternoon of the maiden voyage, the airship is filled with hydrogen, drawn through the doors by a team of children with ropes. The mayor breaks a champagne bottle against the gondola. The citizens quack, observe the spectacle with sunken eyes. The vessel begins to rise toward the yellow sun, the shadow stretching into a long blue needle. All right. Exhumed. The coffin slides easily off the back seat. I lean it up against the tail fin of my coupe, reach in and grab the shovel off the floorboard. I wipe my brow, all the stars twisting like candle flames above me as I push the door shut with a loud click. I squat down low, hoist the coffin up onto my shoulder, and carry it around back. A raven caws as I bend over, release my hands, and let the coffin drop off my shoulder. For a moment, I think it could stand there like a monolith, but then it falls backward into the clay. A red cloud of dirt rises up and settles as I grab my crowbar, as I pry open the lid and examine the face of the deceased. I reach inside, smooth his eyelids back with my thumb and forefinger. Two moons glow in his sockets. I touch them gently, bend down again for my crowbar, and twirl it around, force the claw in behind the moon and lever it. The bones crack and pop with the sound like a branch breaking. I fall and fall. Communion. This is the body broken for you, the minister says, placing a small moon on my tongue. I pull it into my mouth like a placebo and chew slow, grind the moon into dust and light. This is the blood, he says, passing me a ball of dark water. I swallow the moon, take my portion of the night from his pale hands. My face is rippled inside the bowl, and I toss my head back, slurp it down, and spread my arms wide, for I have forgotten how bitter it tastes. Being human, the minister reaches out to touch my cheek, and I swat his hand away, close my eyes and try to focus, smacking my lips like a man in the desert. The congregation begins shifting behind me, and I turn to face them, my teeth glowing white. All right. So this next one's for Matt. By the end of this program, I hope I have a poem for everyone. I would like that. We'll see.
Me too.
All right. So this is called Shapeshifter. Tonight he wants a man, so I shut my eyes, cycle my body in reverse. I become a teenager for him, an infant in embryo. By will alone, I divide my chromosomes into a pair of X's, redesign my sex, and knit my flesh back together. I pass through adolescence, stand before him with my testes, my beard. He doesn't recognize me, I think. So I stretch out my hand, touch his naked chest. I'm still me, I say, lean down to kiss him, just with different parts. He turns away, and I study the long curve of his spine, the sheet draped across his tight buttocks. I straighten up, catch a glimpse of myself in his tall mirror. I lift my arms like I'm being measured for a new set of clothes. Alright, so I think it's for the other map. And it's to make you, it fits you. All right, so it's called Auroras. Auroras, and this is my last one. Thank you guys all for being here. Auroras. He wrapped his big arms around me, dipped me back, and said my heart was magnetic, that he could feel the fields of electricity moving out from inside me. Then we kissed beneath the constellations, the space between our torsos emitting a soft green, like a traffic signal suspended in the fog. Then it was only the two of us, our flesh folding the vivid red bands between our bodies like strips of ribbon candy, like we carried each other high above the earth. Any color was possible then, a pale blue afterglow, like the whole evening was stretched out between us, or a deep purple, like a wine grape or wound we'd have to share. When he died, he left me the lights of other planets, the type we couldn't see as humans. All right. Thank you.